As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
It's a WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. In a half hour, Ross Tucker joins us so he can grade my offensive line big board. How about Elliott picking out Dylan Gabriel? How about Elliott just saying that?
Well, you guys are both arm testing.
I would not feel good about that.
I feel good about Kyle McCord. I feel good about Dylan Gabriel.
Well, listen, I appreciate picking a local kid.
Yep.
But at the same time, you could have picked the other local kid that won a national championship.
I pick who I pick.
Who are some of the other quarterbacks Elliott has liked?
Oh, well, he's horrible. I mean, Paxton Lynch, Cardale Jones, you know, I mean, up and down a litany of quarterbacks he's been bad with. Now, the tough part for him is that during those times, the Eagles need a franchise quarterback. You know what I mean? So there's way more hot quarterback takes.
Yes.
They haven't really had to do that in 3 years.
Yeah, it's been a while. Why don't we get back to the Phils, why don't we? Unfortunately.
What's going on?
They better win tonight.
Is tonight a must-win?
It's a must-win.
Yeah,
we're back in must-win situation.
Like Chris Sanchez, bud. Me to you.
Yep.
Need you.
Must-win.
Need you tonight, Chris Sanchez.
Must-win. By the way, I'm not one of the Phillies fans that talks about how many tickets we sell. I hate when they do that. But Citi Field, like, half empty yesterday.
Yeah.
That was embarrassing.
Had a big game in New York.
What's that? Yeah, but there's 10 million people up there. There's only 20,000 people that go to the Garden, watch them lose to the Pistons. Full of Axe body spray, gold chains, and chest hair.
They are.
The Garden.
The Knicks fans are pretty cringeworthy. I saw that video you put out.
Oh,
that's a tough one.
Oh, that guy?
Imagine if they won a championship.
Oh, that guy? Yeah.
I didn't see it.
Oh, man.
They're just sickening.
They're just disgusting. Yeah.
They're sickening.
The worst fans in America.
Now, I will say it was a 50-degree night, so it was a cold baseball night in October.
But they're
not
in first
fun.
Place against the Phillies.
Listen, I...
You gotta fill the stadium.
No problem. By the way, Phil's rolling out the same lineup as last night, so Stott, Turner, Harper, Schwarber, Castellanos, Kepler, Real Muto, Boom, Rojas.
Yeah.
So same exact lineup. The magical lineup scored 4 in the ninth. It doesn't matter when they score, according to Spike.
Well, they could have scored 5 or 6 if your boy didn't get up there trying to be a hero.
Well, listen.
All right.
Hey, Kobe didn't pass at the end of the game.
Right.
So
okay.
It happens. What do you want him to do? Ranger Suarez is starting in AAA tonight.
Oh, good.
So he is starting up in Lehigh Valley, one to monitor. I know there's been a lot of thoughts of putting Ranger in the bullpen. You know, the piggyback thing I think is interesting. Taiwan obviously would go to the bullpen and be a long man. He's not helping lift the bullpen. You know, he's not.
But Ranger is. I've started to come more to the position that Ranger as a bullpen arm is worth more than Ranger as a fifth starter for the Phillies right now.
Yeah, again, this is all prevalent on Taiwan keeping it up. Now, we'll see when Painter, there's options. And it could be time for the Phillies to do something bold. I'd be more surprised than anything.
Do you think putting Ranger in the bullpen is something bold? You're saying that could be something bold?
Well, I'm saying that would be a bold move.
Yeah, I think so, too.
It would be a bold move.
But I do think, you know, he's pitched out of the bullpen before, and as you mentioned, he's he is valuable in the bullpen. Taiwan is not valuable in the bullpen.
Yeah. No.
Nobody feels good about Taiwan coming out in the bullpen.
It's not like he's going to go from the old 92 to 96 because he's going to the bullpen.
No, but like, you know, Lizardo goes five innings. Ranger going in there giving you six and seven, you know, makes me feel a lot better than any their other options.
Let me ask this.
Yeah.
What about the old pitching consecutive days? How many days in a week does he pitch? Like, what does that mean with Ranger? Is he used to that?
Well, no. Then that's something he would have. And again, what has to be factored into all of this, I know people say it doesn't matter, but I think it does.
It does matter.
Is that he's going to be a free agent. Yeah. And Scott Boras wants him to obviously pitch as many starts as he can to prove he's durable. So,
yeah.
I don't know. It's a tough one. And then the Painter thing's a tough one, too. I wouldn't put Painter in the bullpen because you're asking a 22-year-old kid to maybe have to go back-to-back if he's really good at it. I don't know. It's a lot of hoops you got to jump through.
I tell you what. Hearing this and the sort of resistance or reluctance to do it with either guy does not bode well for the bullpen getting any better. Like, where is the help coming from?
Well, Spike identified a guy in Reading this morning.
Okay. So
what were you doing at 4:30? Like, did you wake up, take a blue chew?
No.
He starts grinding offensive linemen. You gave me a Reading pitcher, obviously. Like, if we can break down Griff McGarry as much as you want.
Well, okay.
And you did your quarterback big board.
So here's what happened. I get up at 4:30, and actually the YouTube, you know, YouTube took me up to maybe 6:30. But then I still had time. So I was like, this Philly bullpen thing is pissing me off. So I start looking at all the stats of all of their minor leaguers. And Ike, there is a guy they have. And I asked Jack about him. I was like, Jack, they got this guy in double A. He's, get this, he has 12 appearances. There are 12 innings he's thrown. Zero ERA, 16 strikeouts in double A. And then you look at his stats. Now he has a career 4 ERA or whatever, but he struck out 320 guys in 200 innings. Like, whatever this guy is, my thing is this. He's obviously got great stuff. His name's Griff McGarry. He's obviously got great stuff. Get him up here with Caleb Cotham. If Caleb Cotham is the best pitching coach we've had in 25 years, if this guy has a chance of getting better, they need bullpen arms. You can't tell me he's worse than friggin' Ruiz or Joe Ross or the hell they throw out there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this guy's got good stuff.
Griff's got stuff, man.
Bring him up here.
Now, he is 26 dominating double A, but you know,
I don't care.
It does, but it matters.
It matters, but I'm just saying.
I know. I agree with you. It's a shot. They got to take a shot on something.
It's worth a chance.
What's working? What's happening right now is not working.
Right.
So I need to go into the trust tree.
Okay.
And I need to talk about one of my biggest fears with the team.
Okay.
And it really hit me last night. A lot of things hit me last night with the frustration with the game. But one of my biggest fears with this team and the current iteration and possibly going forward is, like, you know, I worry that the game might have passed Dave Dombrowski by. And I look at the Mets and I look at their front office and what they've built pitching wise. And, like, they got these scrubs, right? I mean, McGill's not a total scrub, but he's been a 4 ERA pitcher, and this year he's down to a 1.4. Griffin Canning has sucked his entire career. And this year he's having a great year for the Mets.
Signing Clay Holmes.
Clay Holmes. Sean Manaea last year. Sean Manaea was nothing. Super inconsistent. And it's just like the Phillies have to get better at, obviously, internal player development with the Mets now spending the money they are and with the Dodgers. And if they're going to do that, like, they also have to make smart, smaller signings. And you look at this bullpen, and it's just like Dombrowski set this team up to fail this year. I mean, we said all offseason, even with Romano, the idea of him bouncing back and being a competent pitcher, they were still an arm short. And how it's played out now, like, they had to extend Nolan an extra inning last night when they shouldn't have, just because they didn't want to go to Jose Ruiz, and they put Jose Ruiz in there, and he gave him an absolute meatball to blow the game. Like, they were set up to fail from the jump because of the Dombrowski decisions in the bullpen and not being able to replace Jeff Hoffman in a smart way.
So let me ask you this. How much of that is Dombrowski, and how much of that is the guys working for Dombrowski? Because I would imagine that Dombrowski isn't scouting, or he's doing some of it, but he is leaning on the people who do the work for him and say, this guy or this guy or this guy.
Yeah, I mean, I think that those guys have their part in it, but at the same time, he has to be the ultimate driver of this thing.
Sure, yeah.
So he's got to sign off on him. No, we can go in the season with Romano and Strom and Kerkering, and we need to bank on a Jose Ruiz taking another step forward. I mean, he's the one that signed off on that. Like, they gave $8 million to Romano. That's not, like, nothing.
Well, yeah, especially Hoffman only got 10. Yeah. So
it's about making smart decisions. And, man, it's like the whole – there's a quote from Stark, I think, this offseason when talking about the Dave Dombrowski's trade ideas. And his philosophy is he makes bad trade offers, and eventually some team's going to take them, basically. That's fine in 2005 when teams were dumber.
Yeah, but teams are smarter.
Teams are way smarter now, and that stuff's not going to work. And to believe in this offense again and bring it all back and think the Bohm thing was going to work out. I mean, Bohm's batting 198, you know, and he's obviously on a 7-game hitting streak, Ike. You know, he's heating up.
Eight-game
hitting streak. Start the parade. Start the All-Star campaign now. But
we're crawling. We're crawling.
Like, his thing is supposed to be able to get the chemistry right. And the chemistry looks like it's wrong.
Well, I actually think it is a fair comparison to Morey. Because while I think Daryl Morey is a good GM, I think you could say that his peak was when the three-point revolution was happening, which he was a part of, getting Harden. Harden was an undervalued player at the time. Even though people knew he was good, he figured out he was better rather than others. And this whole star thing, and what it has turned into, is the NBA is less about getting, you know, two big stars and throwing a bunch of minimum guys around him. And he may not have adjusted in, you know, he may have been a great GM. Yeah, I still think Daryl's good at what he does, but His wins were a lot bigger 10 years ago, and the difference he was making was a lot better 10 years ago. And I wonder if Dombrowski, and by the way, that trade offer thing that you're talking about is what Morey is famous for. Morey will call everybody. You want to trade me this guy? You want to trade me that guy? And just make offers. And it was a lot easier when half of the GMs in the league didn't know what they were doing. But now that everybody sort of knows what they're doing, it gets a lot harder to get somebody to take a deal like that.
Well, I would say this, and I'm not taking Dave Dombrowski off the hook here. And it's not, I'm not saying he doesn't have some responsibility for the lack of movement this offseason to improve this team in a dramatic way versus in a small incremental way. But let's not lose sight of the players. You say Daryl Morey. As much as we may want to get on Daryl Morey about last summer, the fact that he did put a team together that went up 3-2 over Boston, the team was good enough.
Oh, right. Yes, I agree.
You know
I
what
agree.
I'm saying? They were good enough. They just didn't do it.
No, I agree. And you could say the same thing about Dombrowski and last year.
Yes, right. With the Phillies. Like, they had enough talent. Now, granted, they're supposed to be able to wave the magic wand and fix things. I get that. But I think sometimes we are a little unfair with the GMs wanting them to just somehow flip a switch and fix stuff. Once they make some of these big moves, it's hard to just automatically turn around.
Well, and that's the thing that Stearns has that I don't think Dombrowski has in terms of cash. The Phillies have a big payroll, absolutely. But the Mets owner was willing to say, okay, Scherzer, I don't care. Okay, Verlander, I don't care. I'll pay it off. Just get us prospects back. And essentially spending hundreds of millions of dollars to watch people walk away just to build back farm system. And I think Stearns is great. He obviously knows what he's doing. But when you have the ability, the Phillies could just... We've been watching Taijuan Walker for 3 years here.
They would have already gotten off of him by now.
Right, right. But we're so tied into the fact that, well, we still owe him $18 million a year. And it's not a negative against John Middleton. You can only have so much money. Mm-hmm. But you do have to, I think, when you're looking at the Mets, acknowledge that the fact that their owner was willing to just like pour money down the drain to rebuild the team.
Yeah, but
I think it does give him an advantage.
So my pushback there is they didn't really get anything for those guys. I mean, they got Luis Angel Acuña, who's a second baseman that's okay.
He's just starting second baseman.
Yeah, but they didn't like rebuild. Like, I think the thing that Stearns has, the advantage, is finding underrated talent and getting most out of them. Jesse Winker. You know, Jesse Winker has been on the scrap heap for multiple years, and he's up here. He's batting fifth for the team right now. Jose Iglesias last year, and turning his career around. Griffin Canning, like I mentioned, Sean Manaea, like making those kind of small bets that, like, we paid Max Kepler to be the starting left fielder. Now I think he he had a good night last night, but he's hitting .233 and has one home run and three RBIs.
Right.
You know what I mean? Just it's the big money's fine. Juan Soto, I totally get it. That's a no-brainer signing. He's getting off the things great, but he also made smarter bets. And it has helped lift the edges of the team.
Now, you would, again, I agree with you. I don't think Dombrowski gets enough criticism, but I think you could look at last year and you could say Jeff Hoffman is a find. Strom is a find.
Yep.
Right.
He's had win. I mean, Lizardo's a win.
Lizardo's been the
the best offseason acquisition.
I mean, all three of those guys. Wheeler's obviously the best pitcher of the three, but Wheeler, Sanchez and Lizardo have all been as good as each other this year.
Sure. And again, I think he's done a lot of good for the Phillies behind the scenes when it comes to turning them into a professional organization. I don't think they were that under Klentak and McPhail. Mm-hmm. But just like this specific thing and getting this team, and I don't know how you've been in the game as long as he has and looked at the bullpen and said this is going to hold up. And the fact that there's not really a homegrown guy that can come up from AAA and at least help the bullpen, that's frustrating too. So, like, again, good job, but like, just you watch the difference between these two teams, and the biggest thing I think also is there's a big difference in the front office,
in the Phillies front office and the
versus
Mets
the
front
Mets
office.
Front office.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think the one concern I have, this is actually a Ken from Cinnaminson point, is I don't think Dave Dombrowski. I think when John Middleton, I think the relationship that John Middleton has with Dombrowski is sort of like the relationship that Jeff Lurie had with Joe Banner and Andy Reid for a while. Mm-hmm. And I think that my guess is John Middleton trusts Dave Dombrowski like infinitely.
Implicitly.
Like there is, not that he doesn't ask questions and doesn't, but
if Dave says this is what he thinks.
He believes in Dave Dombrowski and Dave. Yeah. And, you know, Preston Mattingly is the next guy whenever that happens, and who knows what decisions he would make if he was in charge. But I don't think we could yell and scream about Dombrowski from now until, you know, until we're out of breath.
So you're blue in the face.
Blue in the face. And I don't think that John Middleton is questioning the job that Dave Dombrowski does. I think he's got another few years before.
Well, and I think
he's probably gone before he even gets questioned.
I think he views him as Pat Gillick. And I think we look at Pat Gillick and we say, great, right? He won the World Series.
Yep.
He had his misses, but the guys stepped up around him,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's what this team needs. But I don't know. That's just one thing that hit me after watching last night.
Good call, Jackie Baseball. By the way, ringthebellbook.com. The next five orders, free shipping, signed by Jack and Ike.
And
Jack,
Kevin.
Next five owners and Kevin. Well, Kevin's my star.
Yeah, I know.
He's the assumed part of it.
I agree.
Yeah,
I agree.
215-592-9494. Rick in Lancaster. You're on WIP. What's up, Rick?
So she told me
if
her one.
That's not on Jack. He was doing his thing. Jay in Philly. You're on WIP.
Yo, fellas. What's going on?
What's up, Jay?
Hey, what's up, Jay?
So. I'm good, man. First, I want to just say we lost too much talent. The Eagles did to draft a quarterback this draft. If we lost half the guys that we lost, then I'm like, I'm okay with it. Then cool. But man, to lose as much talent as we lost, man, I don't want to draft a quarterback, man, because we can fill holes that we need fill, and quarterback is not one of them right now.
Yeah, I mean, it was a thought experiment. I can't imagine them taking a quarterback in the first three rounds. Now, if they're when you get in 4, 5, 6 territory, I think you're just looking for guys.
Three fifth round picks.
Yeah, you're just looking for guys you like.
Yeah.
And if there's a guy out there that they like that they would like to take a look at that maybe ends up on the practice squad or the third, maybe who's the guy they traded for? Dorian Thompson Robinson. Maybe they end up
like that, right?
Maybe PTR. They end up.
How about that?
Dorial Green Beckham.
Yeah, Dorial Green Beckham. I think
the
one point Elliot made on Go Birds is if they like a quarterback more than they like him, then it's worth taking him. But if they don't like him more than they like him, then they won't. Yep. I agree with you largely, though, Jay. I don't think in the top rounds they would even think about it.
And we've lost so much, you know, like, don't get me wrong, we still have a lot of talent. We just lost so much to the rotation, and we got to fill this roster out some more. Like we just have to. Like we expect guys to step up, but they're unknowns in the new role that they'll play.
Sure.
They were playing lesser roles. So having those guys play more of a role in being counted on more, that's a big difference for them. So, you know, who knows if it'll work out? You know, who knows if a Jomo can really fill Williams' role? Who knows? You know, we won't know until the season starts. You know, we need backup linebacker. We need safety. Yeah. Like, we need a lot. We need an outside cornerback. We need a lot, man. I do believe in the talent that we have, and I do believe in the coaching, and I believe that they're good enough that they can now have guys just play their roles. I feel like in sports, teams aren't good enough to let a guy just play his role. They ask him to do too much, and that's when the guy looks bad. I feel like we're good enough that if we draft a defensive lineman, all you got to do is play your role. We got defensive linemen to do all this, this, and that. You know, all we need you to do is play your gap, or you know it, you can rush the pass. We got you. So I think we're good enough for that. The Phillies, though, my God, I don't know why we're so soft on them. They've been a 500 team for the last year. The last two playoff losses, one, the Diamondbacks loss was a heartbreaking loss, and the Mets loss was an infuriating loss. You know, like to lose to the Diamondbacks was like, oh, that was heartbreaking. The Mets loss, though, was anger. You know, like, how can we lose to these guys? And we're not better. we're not postseason better. Who cares about regular season? Like who cares? We're not postseason better.
Well, it's hard to know.
We care about the until we're not in the playoffs, then we really care.
Then we care about the regular
season.
Yes. Jay, first of all, I don't think people are easy on the Phillies right now. To be honest with you, I think people are pretty mad about the Phillies. You know, you watch the games; everybody's just having a good time. It's a different vibe at a Phillies game than it is an Eagles game or something like that. Everybody's just there for the atmosphere. I think people are upset, and I think people feel the way that you do. I really do. But to your point, we're not going to know if they're better in the playoffs until the playoffs. Like, now we have to get there,
yeah.
But it's impossible. You can't say...
And that's really what they're being judged off of anyway.
Right. Like, my trouble is, if they play well, everybody says, this doesn't matter until the playoffs. But if they play poorly, they say, see, they're not good enough. So I'm trying to say I didn't do a very good job last year of staying sort of level in
even
what I actually...
Spike.
Yeah. I'm trying to not lose focus on the fact that I think they're a 90-plus win team. And I'm not going to say that they're not going to succeed in the playoffs until they don't.
I tell you what, Jay, everybody else that's listening,
yeah,
we got something interesting brewing here.
What?
Because you're going to be tested.
Oh, I'm going to be tested.
Yeah, you're going to be tested.
Yeah,
so
I'm gonna
how
be tested.
Long does Spike remain?
I'm going to be tested.
Even keel on this team. Because this team, I think the team... Because of his flaws, there's going to be times they are frustrating.
Oh, look, if you were to see... I was texting Jack last night, like, this is my nightmare, this is the worst game of the year, yeah. Blah, blah, blah. There's it, and thank you for the call,
appreciate
Jay.
It, Jay.
Yeah, I sleep on it,
mm-hmm.
And I'm like, all
that's
right.
That's good, no, it's good.
Yeah, I'm trying to...
Well, because last year, it was like, if they allowed a run, went up 4-1, he'd be like, this bullpen, this is the worst.
Yeah, it was melted. It crushed me.
I feel you, yeah, so that's why I'm like, it's something great to monitor.
Yes.
Tell you what, well, I did lose it on Bryce today, and I haven't lost it on Bryce.
You
can't wait to lose it on Bryce,
that's
though.
Not true.
You wake up every day saying, how can I lose it on Bryce today?
That is not true.
I didn't think you lost it on Bryce today.
I thought it was fair.
Yeah. Jack, of course, feels the sharpness of it.
Yes.
But I thought it was fair.
Okay, thank you.
I thought it was fair.
So 215-592-9494, talking Phils, talking NFL draft, and speaking of NFL draft, you are lucky enough to get two YouTube big boards today. Ross Tucker joins us next. Last year, Ross judged my YouTube big board with offensive linemen.
We'll see what he has to say today.
We'll see what he has to say today. And the guy I was right about that he was wrong about last
He's
year.
He's not letting that go.
No, I will not. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We are 2 days away from the NFL draft. Eagles with the 32nd selection in the first round. We'll have coverage for you all day and then through the draft at night. Joining us now, the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, none other than Ross Tucker. Ross, we appreciate you coming back this year.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. It's great to see you guys. You look all crisp and clean.
Ah, there he is.
I'm always jealous of Ike's voice. Whatever he was just selling, I want to buy it because his voice is just so good. I'm so jealous.
Well, look at you buttering us up. It's good to see you too, Ross. You look crisp and clean as well. You know, I have a bone to pick with you, Ross. When we had you on last year for my YouTube big board for offensive linemen, you laughed at my Roger Rosengarten pick, and the guy was awesome. What do you have to say for that?
I don't remember. So I'm quite sure I was laughing at whatever it is that you
said. Oh,
opposed to like what your ranking of him was. I mean, listen, you guys have the audio. You can pull it. But some of your analysis, like, does a good job of sliding or moving. Like, I think it was that part of it that cracked me up more than what you said about Rosengard. You're right. He played very, very well for the Ravens. That was a home run pick for them. He is a good athlete, and you identified that because of your basketball background.
Look, I'm not gonna take your backhanded compliments. We appreciate you having us here. After we do the offensive line big board, we are going to want to ask you a couple questions about the draft, if you don't mind, if you've got the time.
Of course.
All right. So I'm going to give you my YouTube offensive line big board for this year. I do three guys. You'll tell me. I'll tell you what I think, and then you tell me what you think. You got it?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Number three, Marcus Bowe out of Purdue. So, awesome athlete. Sort of reminds me of an Eagles offensive lineman in that he runs like awesome. The guy, first of all, anyone who he's blocking usually ends up on the ground without him holding him. And it looks like he sees the field in the YouTube I was looking at. Like a running back or something. He is looking in the space that he has to create the block for, and he ends up creating a hole that I didn't even see. So not only is he strong and a great athlete, but he seems pretty smart to me. Ross, Marcus Bowe, my number three guy.
You know what? So what I like about it is I like that you identify and find guys that other people aren't talking about that much.
Yep.
Right.
And I like him. I think he's good. He's like one of those guys that I still say, give him a chance at tackle. If it doesn't work out, then you can move him to guard. Now, he's like a lot of guys in this year's class. He falls into the Ross Tucker short arm category, right, with 32-inch arms. So he probably will slide in to be a guard. But that's a guy that, like, if the Eagles took him in the second or third round and had him compete with Steen, he's got some Steen similarities, probably a better athlete, not as big as Steen, but in that he could probably hold it down for you at tackle, but better suited at guard. I don't even know how to comment on some of your other things you say about defensive linemen. What else ever say before? I don't know what to say about that. He is a good athlete, yes. I don't even know what you said about the vision, like running back vision. I don't know what that means.
Well, you'll see at the next level. You're a real football guy like me. You'll start seeing at the next level, Ross. All right. Number two. Now, I think this guy, I don't remember where these guys are ranked, but I think this guy is well thought of. My number two guy is Josh Simmons out of the Ohio State University. Ah. He is huge. He's strong. He runs like a tight end. There are a bunch of plays where I saw him, and I just remember this from a lot of Eagles plays with Mailata and then Kelsey and Juergens, is that like the running back is 10, 15 yards down the field, and he's keeping up with them, knocking guys over. And the other thing is that like he looks like he loves hitting people. Like he looks like he is attacking the defensive lineman rather than the defensive lineman attacking him. So my number two guy is Josh Simmons out of Ohio State.
So you might not realize it, Spike, but what you just said is really important for an offensive lineman. He looks like he really likes hitting people. I know you people think that every NFL player really likes hitting people. Yes and no, right? Like there's some guys that really, really enjoy it. I never thought just blocking people was fun. Like, why is that fun? They get to score a touchdown. I'm just like standing in front of this guy. No, like the fun part is trying to kill the dude, right? Like the fun part is trying to physically punish him. So you need guys like that. Mailata's like that. Landon's like that. There are teams that don't have a single enforcer, a single bodyguard type at all on their offensive line. And it's problematic. I'm a big Josh Simmons guy. I actually did two of his games, Spike, when he was at San Diego State as a freshman. And I distinctly remember thinking, what is this guy doing at San Diego State? I mean, he's like 6'6", 320, long arms, athletic. He played awesome for Ohio State till he got hurt. If he didn't get hurt, I think he would be the number one tackle in this draft. I think he'd be like a top 5, top 10 pick. So, you know, some other time I'll come on to get your medical evaluation, your YouTube medical evaluation, but I like the video breakdown.
Well, unfortunately, because of the Sixers, I'm actually pretty good at the medical evaluations as well. All right, my number one guy. Speaking of liking to beat the crap out of guys.
This is your number one O-lineman.
This is my number one O-lineman.
On your big board.
Is Wyatt Millam out of West Virginia. Out of all the offense,
Wyatt?
Yes. Out of all
West Virginia?
Yes.
Oh,
out of
God.
All the offensive linemen I watched, this guy beat the crap out of more guys than I saw than I saw anybody else. Pass blocking, he's beating the crap out of guys. Run blocking, he's beating the crap out of guys almost every play. If I was a defender and I had to go up against him, I would be bummed out because I would know it was going to be a long day. I want the Eagles. I want Howie to pay attention. I want this guy in Stoutland U. Number one, Wyatt Millam out of West Virginia.
So, first of all, I thought it was Milam, but maybe I'm wrong.
Well, I don't know. I'm just looking at the YouTube. I don't know. Milam, Millam, I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, it could be Milam. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
Well, so to have him ahead of like Armand Membu from Missouri,
yeah,
who reminds me a lot of a former teammate of mine, Jason Peters, like a lot, or Campbell from LSU is ballsy,
yep,
for sure.
Yeah,
I will say this: I too like Milam. Here's what's interesting about Milam: he was one of the Eagles' 30 visits. They brought him in.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So they don't do that usually unless they like him as well. So I wouldn't be shocked if the Eagles drafted him. Everything you said about him is correct. He is 6'7", but has 32-inch arms. So that puts him in a really weird spot. He's almost like as much of a T-Rex as me. short arms. So the question will be, if his arms aren't long enough to play tackle, is he too tall to play guard? You can play guard at 6'7". You know, Harriman's famously did it very well for a long time. But you're going against a bunch of guys that are like 6'1", 6'2", 320. Really, really hard to get leverage on them. I like Milam as a player. I would not have him number one on my Spike Eskin YouTube big board.
Well, we are not the same, Ross. We are not the same. So I appreciate it. I appreciate you you humoring me here. Ross Tucker with us, the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. Now, you were undrafted. Like on that weekend, was just thinking about at that time, was there ever a possibility you thought you might go? Like, what was that weekend like? What was the process like of you going from college to the pros?
Yeah, so I was such a bottom-of-the-barrel NFL draft prospect. I knew I wasn't going to get drafted.
Okay.
And my agent told me, remember back then, there was no rookie tryout camp like they have now.
Right.
And back then, there was only an 80-man offseason roster, not 90. Okay, it's a big difference. So my agent told me it was 50-50 whether or not I would even get signed. And I'll never forget, my parents had just gotten me a cell phone, my first cell phone for my birthday, okay? This is 2001. So I had my dorm room phone there. I had my cell phone there. The draft was Saturday and Sunday during the first round. By far the worst team in the NFL for the previous decade, the Cincinnati Bengals called me. And I answered the phone, Spike, and I was like, I'm ready to be a Bengal. It was the first round, and it was the assistant offensive line coach saying, "Hey, Ross, just want to make sure we had the right number for you. We have you ranked as a guy that if you don't get drafted, we might want to sign." Like, yeah. Oh, okay, but I'm ready now. Just so you guys know, I'm ready now. If you want to take me now. So that was pretty funny. That was the only team that called me was the Bengals. They called me Saturday and Sunday. So real quick, my agent told me the longer it takes after the draft for me to call you, the worse of a sign it is. So it's like an hour after the draft and he hasn't called me. So I'm thinking, I just got up at 6 a.m. every morning, second semester. I didn't go out one time. My friends are coming in at 5 a.m. and I'm going to go work out. And it didn't happen. I'm not getting signed by a team. I went out to the fraternity. I couldn't even look my friends in the eye. I had to eat something. That's where you eat. It's called an eating club. It's a long story. I go back. I'm walking up the steps, and I hear the dorm room phone ringing. This is before cell phones. So I run up the steps. I answer it, and my agent's like, "Where were you?" I said, "I was hungry, and I thought I wasn't getting signed. You took an hour and a half." He's like, "Well, congratulations. You're the newest member of the Washington Redskins." So that was my story. I thought I had just wasted months and months of my life, but instead I got a chance and I was able to make the most of it in Washington.
You thinking you were a first round pick is the funniest thing I've heard today. Not that you couldn't have been, but like I can only imagine. You're like, "I don't think I'm gonna get drafted," and then you get called on day one.
Somebody calls you on day one. You're like, holy cow.
I knew they weren't taking me. And it's like a half joke. I knew they weren't taking me.
Yeah.
But nobody told me that they might call you early.
Right.
To talk to you. So like I got a call from a number, NFL number, and I'm like, "This is unbelievable."
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then by the way, they still didn't try to sign me after the draft. They didn't. They signed some other guys. And so I think Washington was like the only team that wanted to give me a chance. And thank goodness for Marty Schottenheimer, because he gave me a real shot.
Well, I tell you, Ross, that's the last time we was broke, man, leading up to that draft.
Yeah. All right, Ross.
Oh, man, that was.
I remember those work. Hey, man, because I remember those workouts in the morning, and you're still grinding. You're saying to yourself, "We're almost there. We're almost there." You know, I've made it through my college career. You know, I've done the. I don't know if Ross, you were you got invited down to the combine and all that type of stuff, but you went through that whole process, and you still don't know where your future is going to be at. And you're waiting for this weekend to be told where you're about to start this new life.
Right.
And here's the crazy thing, Ross, right? We all think we're going to play 10-plus years, right? We all think we're going to play 10-plus years when you get drafted.
Yep.
So that's why you're so elated when you do get the phone call, but then reality sets in that you got to go try to make the ball club and everything else. So, but I
would have been absolutely thrilled with just making the practice squad.
Exactly. Yes.
Just to play him. That first mini camp, you get like $400. I never cashed the check. To me, it wasn't about that. Now it's like nowadays you can take a picture.
Right. Yes.
Back then, I never cashed check, but I'll never forget this. My roommate was some undrafted O lineman from Northern Iowa named Brad Harms. Shout out Brad Harms. I was such a bottom of the barrel guys, Spike and Ike. I got no signing bonus, zero.
Wow. Okay?
His signing bonus was $5,000.
Yeah.
He opens it up and he's like, "Oh my gosh, taxes, they're terrible. How bad are taxes?" And I'm looking at him like, "Yeah, taxes, they're bad. Yeah, I hate taxes." I had zero. So anyway, he was terrible. They cut him after the first weekend and I played really well. I was like, "Oh my gosh, I can do this." I called my agent. I said, "Yo, can you get me the $5,000 from the Northern Iowa?" Because I had no money.
Well, the good thing about not getting a signing bonus is, man, you don't pay any taxes on it.
That's
right?
True.
That's the win.
That's the fact.
You won on taxes. All right, Ross. You can get Ross Tucker Football Podcast. We appreciate you coming on, brother.
Thanks, brother.
Hey, my pleasure. Great to talk with you guys. Great to be on in the afternoon for once. Thank you, guys.
Yes, sir.
There you go.
Thanks,
yep.
Ross. There he is, Ross Tucker. Show me a little bit more respect this year.
Yeah, he did.
Thank God.
Yeah,
did. Thank God he learned his lesson.
Yeah, don't mess with Roger Rosengarten or whatever his name is.
Yes.
And I keep wanting to say Roger Rabbit, even though I know that's not his name.
Roger Rosengarten sounds like an 80s movie star.
It does. It does.
Mike Rosenberg.
Speaking, you know, you want to find a dog in the draft. I got two dogs at home. I love those dogs.
Man, yes.
That's all I think about. I love my friggin' dogs. And you love your pets too, right? You love your dog. You love your cat. And you want to make sure that you're feeding them the right stuff. You're getting them the right supplements. Now that it's going to be warm outside, they'll be outside all the time. You think about flea and tick prevention. Well, natural flea and tick prevention. Dogs and Cats Rule has to be your home for that. You have to give your dog, your cat, the best life possible. And Dogs and Cats Rule can be your partner in that. The lead dog, George Perenni, makes sure of it. All 7 locations. And here's how they're your partner. Not only do they have top-of-the-line pet nutrition, not only do they have top-of-the-line supplements, all the best stuff, but they have the best people. And the people who can help you get from point A to point B when you don't know the answer. You have a busy life. You can't find all those answers yourself. All you have to do is go to Dogs and Cats Rule. They will have those answers. So whether it's food, whether it is that natural flea and tick prevention, maybe it's some new toys for outside during the summer and the spring. Dogs and Cats Rule is the only place you need to go to. There are 7 locations. In PA, there's Newtown, Doylestown, Maple Glen, New Hope, and Bluebell. In Jersey, there's Pennington and Princeton. Dogsandcatsrule.pet is the website. Dogs and Cats Rule. Shop small, shop local, shop family. All right. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Mark's is looking. Nope. There it is. Every show.
It's the 4 o'clock Twitter question.
I thought I changed it.
Yeah, well,
I
didn't. Listen.
Ghost in the Machine.
Lock in.
Mark's Jewelers, for the best selection of diamonds to fit every budget, visit the home team at Mark's. I'm sorry, Mark's. Experience the difference at marks-jewelers.com. Does a rising tide float all boats, or does a rising tide float all ships?
Did I write it that way?
Yes.
What an idiot. Yeah. Hold on.
Oh, no, you wrote raise.
Okay.
Does a rising tide raise, but I've heard floats, so whatever. Does a rising tide raise?
No, never heard floats.
It's raise.
It's raise. It's fine. What do you think the poll is at? Ships or boats? What do you think, guys?
Boats.
And what do you think the number's at?
I'll go slightly, so I'll go 58%.
55% say ships!
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 What a scoop. Can you read the other one? I think the other one's interesting, too.
Which event in Philadelphia in 2026 are you most excited about? The PGA Championship, the NCAA Tournament, the MLB
tournament.
It's tournament.
The MLB All-Star Game or the World Cup. So,
well, that's an overload. I forgot about NCAA. We got the NCAA tournament here, too.
I think it's just the first weekend.
Yeah, we don't have the finals.
That's
here,
the right? best weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
That's when all the teams are here.
Yeah, we've had that before. Here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah.
It's been a while.
But it has definitely been a while.
Been a while.
Yeah, we can't have the finals here until they have
a dome.
A dome, like a bigger place.
Yeah, you definitely need a bigger place. Yeah,
I think I was at the last one that was just in an arena. When I went in 95 or whenever it was Syracuse, Kentucky, UMass, and Arkansas.
Yeah. Well,
that was at the Meadowlands.
Oh, okay. Because the Leitner shot was here.
Right.
Yes.
Yes, but that was before
92.
This.
Yes. Yeah.
That was before when I went.
The year Duke won it, Jay Williams, Battier, and those guys?
That was...
came through here.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Because I remember what they beat. I think this was the Elite Eight to get to the Final Four.
So
I remember being at that.
So what do you think people are most looking forward to? PGA Championship, NCAA Tournament, MLB All-Star Game, or World Cup? The real question is number 2, I think. But what do you think number 1 is?
What's not the NCAA Tournament? I would think either All-Star Game or World Cup. So I'll go, man, for our audience, I'm trying to figure, do we got a big soccer audience out there? Because I want to go All-Star Game.
It's All-Star Game.
Yeah, that's why I want to go All-Star Game.
So All-Star
Game,
Game's at 41%, but 32% at World Cup.
Yeah. So I had it right.
Yeah. And, I mean, it's the world's event.
And PGA Championship at 16%, and then the NCAA Tournament at 10%.
I had that completely correct.
Well, the NCAA Tournament, too, has fallen.
Yeah.
It's just fallen out of favor.
Yeah, it's college. Yeah, we barely even talk college basketball.
Right,
here,
but there would have been a time when the stars in NCAA were big enough.
Yeah, who's even going to be the star next year?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
All the good guys are gone.
Yeah.
You know? All the good guys, I barely even know
who they
anyway.
Are anyway. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, thank you to Ross Tucker for coming on. And I said humoring me, but we all know I'm the better evaluator of offensive
line. That Major League All-Star week is going to be pretty cool.
It's fun. I remember when it was here when I was in college. What year was that? It was 95, 96, something like that?
Yeah, 96. Yeah.
There you go. And I remember that's when they...
Yeah, the last time. Obviously, that's the last time.
Yeah.
Did Dad get you front row seats?
No. I was up in the second level. Now,
oh, yeah, I'm sure.
I was up in the second level for the home run derby. For the game, I was actually sitting in the dugout.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yes,
yeah,
in a diamond-laden throne.
You were the bad boy.
No, I wasn't the bad boy.
Boy. You were out there shagging flies.
Yeah, Dad paid for me to play. I played in the game. Yeah. But I remember, because it was at the Vet, that's when they replaced all the Vet seats, and that's when we got the blue seats in the Vet was for the All-Star game.
Yeah. So that really helped spruce up the Vet, the blue seats.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They're like, they won't notice all the rats and the concrete if we make the seats blue.
You know? That'll change everything.
Holy cow.
Yeah, a very, very deck chairs on the Titanic sort of thing, changing the seats in the Vet.
Exactly right.
So, Jack, the top 5 of 5 is coming up next. What do we have to look forward to?
I've been thinking a lot about Ike.
Oh, thank God. We have an Ike top 5 at 5. We haven't had one in a while.
The most notable hills that Ike has died on.
Oh, he's had a few.
Yes. He's had a few.
Yeah.
The ships and boats being one of them.
Yeah,
which one is risen
I'm
by
still,
the tide?
I'm still on that hill.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know. You're not going away from that.
I'm still on that hill.
Twitter poll can be wrong.
You
know,
exactly.
It is not
the
gospel.
Twitter poll can be
I
wrong.
Let you doofuses know that you're not always right. You're not in my head.
Well, especially music takes. You don't care what Twitter says.
Oh, you don't care what Twitter says.
You've been
says
wrong on every
takes.
Single Twitter poll.
Well, it doesn't matter. I've been right in real life. I'm right in real life. All right. 215-592-9494. Talking Phils. We have game two of Phillies Mets tonight on WIP and also Eagles draft. The top five at five is next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.